Welcome back to Community Connections. As I said before, this is the last hour for this year, and I won't be here during February. During January, we always rest Community Connections, so you can have a bit of a break, and I get away, but then I try to be here all the rest of the year. So I'll be back on the first Wednesday of February 2023, and we'll do it all again for another year. I have with me this afternoon Bernie, and Bernie's the Community Engagement Coordinator with the Warburton CFA. So, welcome, Bernie.
Thanks, Alan.
Oh, pardon me. What a great time to get a cough. Bernie, how long have you been with the CFA yourself?
I've been with the CFA for about 3 years, and in Warburton, about 4 years.
So, what guy? Got you to get involved, Bertie?
Well, I've always been part of a community, and I felt the best way to contribute to Warburton was to take a moment to contribute through the CFA. Joining the CFA was one of the best things I've done in Warburton. A terrific organisation and a great way to communicate and contribute to the community.
And you're one of the... Oh, pardon me, buddy. You actually go up the trucks?
Yeah. Now, I'll just take a moment to talk for a few minutes. The reason I'm here today, Alan, is to talk about the book that we've published in the Warburton CFA, which is called Warburton CFA, Honouring the Past, Protecting the Future. And it's 239 pages, full colour photographs, some terrific stories, hardback edition. It is a real coffee table history book. And if I could just put in a plug, it'd be a great Christmas present. For those who haven't bought their Christmas presents yet, this will be a great opportunity. You can buy it through trybooking.com, which is www.trybooking.com. And that's... one of the reasons I'm here today, but also to talk about other aspects of CFA, the summer firefighting, which is coming up, of course. We've had a pretty cool entry to summer, but as we get going, once the heat starts, all this long grass will dry out very quickly.
Soon dries out very quickly, doesn't it? Bernie, we'll just go back a tick. I didn't hear what you were saying, because obviously I was out coughing my lungs up, but I've got to say it's not COVID. It's... I just swallowed some air, which didn't go down very well. So you've been in CFA for about 4 years. You did it because you wanted to give back to the community.
Yeah.
And I started off by asking you, and you might have answered this as I went out the door, you are a person that goes, it turns out, with the trucks, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. I'm one of the firefighters.
So apart from yourself, well, the firefighters... There are also a group of people as well, aren't there, that back you up, that do phones and do all sorts of other stuff. Is that right?
That's right. There are people who don't go on the trucks, but who we call them the non-operational members.
Yep.
But they're full members, and they contribute in their own way, to lots of different ways. There are people one man is the secretary. So he looks after all of that side of things, the paperwork, and makes sure all of that flows. We have others who are involved in maintaining various aspects of uniforms and equipment, the back office, and making sure it all flows.
Now, we're going to talk about this terrific book in a minute, which you've let me have a look at. It's a fantastic book, but I noticed in there... It's certainly in all the older photos, there are women, but they're called women's auxiliary. So, A, did they not fight on the trucks? And B, when were they became firefighters, and are they firefighters now?
Ah, right. In 1962, the women's auxiliary was founded. Right. Up until that stage, women were not part of the CFA.
Just not allowed to?
Not allowed to.
Yep.
And... That changed, of course, because society changed.
Yep.
And By 1984, when the Sex Discrimination Bill was passed, the first women firefighters were allowed to become, well, firefighters.
Fully fledged fighters.
Exactly, yep. Out on the trucks. And Charmaine Pearson was the first in 1984 in Warburton CFA. And
I guess, and I'm not having a go at the CFA here because I'm in Rotary and they were just as bad and a whole lot of organisations. Do you think she suffered a lot of discrimination? Were there a lot of the guys that just didn't think a woman should be on the truck?
Oh, you'll still find some of those attitudes, yeah. I think. But as you do in any organisation, yeah. You get the full spectrum. But really, the I find the attitudes generally in the CFA in Warburton particularly yeah. are really healthy. We have a female captain, yep. and she's been captain since 2014, yep. and a member of Warburton CFA since 2008. And we have 11 out of 44 members are female firefighters, and so that's about 25%. Yep. In Victoria, statewide, there are 23.3%.
All right, so you're female. Leading the pack.
We are slightly above average. And it's a growing part of CFA,
yep.
A promotion of female firefighters.
What's the average age of, say, the Warburton firefighters, would you say?
I'd say they'd be probably in their 40s. There's a real spectrum of ages from 16 to 86.
Well, 16 and 86 wouldn't be going on the trucks, would they?
Well, the 16-year-old, yes, but not the 86-year-old. Yeah.
Look, I've got to take a break. I've had a sponsorship pop up that I've got to do. But we then want to get on and talk about this terrific book that you're here to tell us all about. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Silent night, all evening.
Son of God, loves me. This is Speedway Bazza. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
I just love that carol, Silent Night. I think it's one of the greatest I've heard. But anyway, we're talking to Bernie, and he's the community engagement coordinator up at the Warburton CFA. Now, I apologise for coughing all over everyone before, but I can tell you it's not COVID. I just had a swallowed some air. But Bernie has brought with him a book that's been produced, and he's here to help promote it, and it's a Warburton Fire Brigade Honouring the Past, Protecting the Future. Tell us all about this, please, Bernie.
Well, this book was produced after about 10 years of preparation, of dedicated work by Peter Sutherland, who's since gone to God, unfortunately. But Peter was a member who had a real history, a real interest in the history of the brigade, and he pulled together a lot of old photographs and stories and collated a lot of information. And then the centenary was held about 7 years ago, and since then we obtained a grant from the Local History Grants Program through the Public Records Office of Victoria to enable us to produce a digital exhibition. And we were fortunate to have Sally Williams, who's a writer, pull together all of this information, and so the brigade was able to publish this terrific hardback edition, full colour photographs and great stories.
That's fantastic. Bernie, just having a look at one of the pages here, and it's got a lady, Carol Borges. Did she operate the communications from her home?
That's right, she did, yeah.
True. So some of these people, something we've got to mention, and we'll mention it again, is that people, you've got to understand that these CFA people are all volunteers. Bernie's got another job, and when these guys are dragged out 2, 3 in the morning for a fire, 4 o'clock in the morning, they have to go home, have a shower and go to work. Like, it's not a case of saying, well, we've done that, we have a rest, do you? I mean, that's just what it is.
That's right. Particularly in those, you know, you can be called out in the middle of the night to go to a house fire or during the summer, of course, with much greater risk of bushfire, yep. And that can be days on end. And yep. When you go away on a strike team particularly, it might not be anywhere local, but you go away for weeks at a time. Yep. And that, of course, as we were talking about earlier, holidays can be just shot to bits.
Yeah, I was just telling the story of a person I knew down the peninsula. He shot 3 weeks of his annual leave in one instance, but away the whole time. The holidays he had planned with his wife and kids were all gone.
Yeah, the cost to families is significant, and we're a total volunteer organisation, and the CFA only yesterday released figures for volunteering, and they're down 1,400 on last year. Okay. So since COVID, volunteering has suffered.
Yeah, it has.
We really need to put a call out there for people who are interested.
Bernie, we've got a little bit off the track because I want to promote this book. And it's my fault. It's not yours. I got you off the track talking about... let's talk about this book again now. It is available now. How much and how are people going to get hold of it?
It's $45 and it's available through trybooking.com.
Trybooking.com.
I'll give you that all of those details later on.
Yeah, just before, about 5 to 2, we'll come back. Well, I can tell you, Bernie's brought one in to show me, and it is well worth the money. It is fantastic. The Women's Auxiliary, because I've just opened a page on them, when they were in existence, was their job to raise funds for the brigade. It wasn't to buy the trucks. What was their actual function? I see they've even got a stall here selling stuff. What was the idea?
Yeah, the idea was that they would support through fundraising and also through supporting the firefighters during the fires.
Yep.
So they made heaps of sandwiches. They provided all sorts of support to enable the firefighters, who were mostly men in those decades, yep. To do what they did.
Because also, Bernie, a firefighter can only stay in front of a fire for so long, can't they? Otherwise, they dehydrate themselves.
That's right. There's a lot of attention given to how to look after yourself during a fire.
Yep.
And a lot of that is about hydration. There are teams now, what we call rehab teams, to enable firefighters to take a break from the fire front and to go back to the rehab truck and get themselves back together, cool down, and then be ready to go back.
How long could you expect to stay in front of a fire?
Oh, it would vary from person to person, but certainly a number of hours, and then depending on the heat and the conditions.
I was just going to say that. What sort of degrees are we talking about when you're in front of a bushfire?
Oh, upwards of 50 degrees, and that's huge. You can't tolerate that sort of
your body proximity. Pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bernie, this book, I can only, having seen it, I can only emphasise what a terrific history it is. It's not some flimsy little book that's been thrown together with just a few photographs. I don't know how many pages there are.
230.
You know, everyone. So, look, it's a value for money. It's a terrific little book. Got to take another quick break and be back to talking to Bernie again.
Through the bush in a rusty Holden ute, kicking up the dust, Esky in the boot, Kelpie by my side, singing Christmas songs. It's summertime and I am in my singlet shorts and thongs. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is here. The kangaroos, Swaggy climbs aboard. He is welcome too. All the family is there, sitting by the pool. Christmas Day, the Aussie way, by the barbecue. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is beautiful. Come the afternoon, Grandpa has a doze. The kids and Uncle Bruce are swimming in their clothes. The time comes round to go, we take a family snap, then pack the car and I'll shoot through before the washing up. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is new. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute.
I said,
oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute.
Bernie, yep. I'm going to have another cough again, isn't it? You would like to tell us about the fire rating alterations.
This year the fire danger ratings system changed. The there's now an Australian fire danger rating system that was introduced in September right across Australia. Now this system is a simpler one than we've been used to over the last few years. And many of us have got used to making decisions according to what the level of fire risk is. Well, the fire danger rating system that we've got now, coming into summer, involves four levels: moderate, high, extreme, and catastrophic. At the moderate level, you plan and prepare. So you might see as you drive past, it's at the moderate level, okay, I need to be planning and preparing. The next level up is high, so be ready to act. These are the hotter days where the weather is dry. Then you have the extreme fire danger. Now, that is the time to take action now to protect life and property. These are the days we get quite a few of during summer, particularly January and February. And the final and highest one is catastrophic. And unfortunately, we all remember those times for the 2009 fires. For your survival, leave bushfire risk areas. That's the advice when it's at catastrophic level. Now, the other one is, you'll notice, is where there is no rating. So there's no particular danger on those days, and that is just below moderate. So we've got no rating, moderate, high, extreme, and catastrophic.
Bertie, when you're travelling around, well, when I'm travelling around the state, I know some of these boards, and I think there's one in several, might be, I'm not sure whether some of them seem to change because at least seem to be electronic, but others aren't. I've seen some where there's just the arrow. So does the CFA have to, apart from everything else they've got to do, do they have to go out every day and alter those?
Well, those manual ones are probably operated by somebody in the local community.
Yep.
But the electronic ones, which are becoming much more prevalent,
yep,
are operated centrally. So they'll change according to the district rating.
Right. So where are these fire ratings printed? Like, if I lived in, Hillsville, and I wanted to know, because I think it's looking a bit hot tomorrow,
yeah,
where would I find the fire ratings?
Well, the best place to look is at the CFA website, for a start, or Emergency Victoria.
Right.
And those are the most common places, cfa.vic.gov.au. That's cfa.vic.gov.au, and that is the central place for a lot of the information about what the local risk is for your area. Now, for the Yarra Valley, of course, it's what we call District 13, which corresponds to the Yarra Ranges Shire, the municipal area, pretty basically. And then Emergency Victoria is the best website for emergency information, and they will have up-to-date changes according to what the risk is and what's happening.
So they change almost hourly, do they? Or
minute to minute. When there's during the summer particularly,
yep,
there'll be updates about, you know, the Watch and Act warnings and so on.
Right. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then I want to come back and we want to talk a bit about what people should be doing to prepare for summer now, because I know I've made the statement before, you can't, it's nothing against the CFA, they can't possibly have a truck out the front of every house, and we need to take responsibility for our own preparation, don't we, Bernie?
We certainly do.
Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing alleluia, all ye choirs of angels. Oh, sing, oh,
of course, that was Delta Goodrum. But we talked to Bernie. Bernie, I said before, we can't expect the CFA to be sitting out the front of our door, and that's just not possible. So what to put, and I know some people are going to say, oh, yeah, but there's been a lot of rain this year, so we really don't have to worry about fires. But that's not true either, is it?
No, certainly not. And listening to the forecast that you just read out earlier, we're going to have some hot days ahead. Yep. And the grass is going to brown off pretty quickly. And one of the biggest risks in the valley is grass fire and bushfire.
Yep.
So during the summer months, and in preparation, really, we should be at the end of our preparation period.
Yep.
But we should be doing things like talking to our neighbours and finding out what they're planning on doing. Yep. And finding out, talking to each other about what you consider the risks are. What are the risks unique to your particular situation? Yep. What are going to be the triggers for you to leave?
Yep.
Is it the extreme or the catastrophic rating?
Oh, to work on the ratings before you do anything else. Yep.
Well, you have a look at that, and yep, that's going to tell you what the risk is for the day.
Right.
So you've got to weigh up, if you know that the temperature's going to be high, the humidity's low, and there's going to be wind, and which direction is it from, then you've got the ingredients for a problem day.
Yep.
So understand your risk, your risk locally. Do you have exit areas? If there is an unexpectedly quick change in the weather, in the wind direction, for instance, what are you going to do? Have you got your car packed? Have you got your valuables somewhere safe for the summer?
Yep.
All of these sorts of things.
And one thing people should remember is to take things like your bank information, that, don't you? Because
your
these
passport.
Are the things you're going to need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to help identify you.
Yep.
And your passport, your bank details, photographs, all these sort of things that are precious to
yep.
us. But again, you know, that's going to be your decision. And if you have animals, of course, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you do with them.
Yeah.
And that will be unique to your circumstances. The CFA have got a lot of information on the CFA website about helping you make decisions about your unique circumstances.
Yep.
So use that information. Go to the CFA website. Find your way to the area relating to you. If you've got animals, look at that area. There's a several pages on how to think through the problem solving associated with that.
Mm.
People have died trying to save their animals, and to keep them safe, you need to decide on what you're going to do, whether they're pets or whether they're horses or cattle or sheep. The other thing is, if you're travelling as a tourist into this area, then you've got to check the conditions in your destination to find out, you know, which areas are going to be safe for you and to work out what you're going to do if things change.
Yep.
So a lot of the short-stay accommodation in this region is often queued up to inform their guests so that they can be safe themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got a lot of people who are not familiar with bushfire coming in and having a great holiday and then finding that the weather, is just a little bit risky for them. But, you know, it's a terrific area and we don't discourage people from coming, not at all.
Just be
prepared, be aware.
Yep. But for the people that are here, what are sort of some of the basic things they ought to do to prepare their own area, their own house?
One of the first things you need to do is look at the fire risks around your house. Have you got trees close? Have you got trees overhanging? Have you got leaves in your gutter? Clear your gutter. Clear away wood and any burnable material around the house, close to the house. If you've got a wood pile close to the house, move it away from the house for the summer.
Yep.
And, again, understand your risk. Where are the fire risks associated with your place?
And do you also then need to have a planned escape route, because you might not get down the street you want to go down, might you?
That's right. You need to think through, well, everybody else in your neighbourhood will be using the same road, probably.
Yep.
Now, if you get a tree across that road, what's going to happen?
Yep.
So we need to think through those sort of scenarios. Have a scenario in your mind.
Bernie, the other thing too, that while just to this idea of, you know, what are you going to, how are you going to get away? Because apart from you trying to get away and probably 1,000 other people, you're also going to be trying to get the fire brigade, the police and everything up those streets. So the one road or the two roads that you've got to have more than one exit route, don't you?
That's right. And thankfully we don't have, a hot, dry summer so far.
Yep.
We know we've got a few hot, dry days ahead.
Yep.
And it'll shift that risk rating up a little. So we do need to be aware that, on those days, the emergency services vehicles are going to be wanting to get around.
Yep.
And so you need to, if you're planning an exit, the best option on those extreme and catastrophic days is to simply not be there.
Yeah, just to go.
Yeah.
If there's a fire in the distance, and I know this is hypothetical, because the fires can move very fast if they've got a north wind behind them too, can't they?
Very fast.
And they can spot, half a kilometre or a kilometre further on down the road and start again, can't they?
Well, in a hot north wind, they were spotting 20 kilometres ahead.
20 kilometres?
Yes.
Gee, that's a big...
But thinking back to the 2009 fires,
yep,
a lot of that spotting was well ahead of the fire front. And that's what caught communities off guard.
So how... Like, if you could see a fire 20 k's away, like, how long would you stay? If you were going to go, do you go as soon as you see it?
You should have been gone already.
Should you?
Yeah, on those extreme and catastrophic days, you need to have thought ahead about what you're going to do, what your family's going to do, what your locals... If you've got kids, what the local school's policy is on those days. Do you send your child to school or do you go into... some other area where, some other suburb where you can be safer away from fire risk.
That's fair enough too. So, and of course, I guess the other thing is too that you've got to realise that everybody's going to try to do the same thing too. So it's not like you can hop in your car and drive down the street because it's a clear street. I mean, everybody's going to be trying to do the same thing.
That's right. Yeah. So we need to have the scenario in our head. So think ahead. What's it going to be like if everybody decides to do this at the same time?
Peter, does the CFA have a policy as to whether you stay, or is it the CFA's suggestion that you... whether you should stay and fight, I mean, or flight? Do the CFA have a policy that they'd rather see you go than stay, or...?
It depends on the circumstances.
Right.
So the response is it depends.
Yep.
Generally... with the catastrophic rating, for your survival, leave the area.
Go.
So in extreme levels of fire danger, you need to take some actions, and that may be that you decide, well, if there's a total fire ban, I'm not staying.
Yep.
Okay, that's your personal choice.
Yep.
So the CFA has no right to tell you what to do. All we can do is make... recommendations on how we understand fire behaves, and the personal choice has got to be up to yourselves. But be informed, make sure you've got all the information you need to make a good decision for you and your family.
Because one of the things that I heard, and it might have been Ash Wednesday or Black Saturday, I don't know, that some people thought they'd stay because they banked their whole thing on, they had sprinklers, they had all that. But they were banking on electricity, and a couple of poles burnt down and there was no electricity.
Yeah, these are the unexpected things that we're now starting to take into account a lot more and plan for. And even the equipment these days is made out of plastic. Well, of course, that doesn't last too long in the heat. So we need to be pretty careful about the choices that we make about staying or going, but think it through. A lot of the advice about fire has changed because of the change in fire behaviour. We've got a lot more risk of catastrophic fires these days.
Yep.
And 2009, Black Saturday, really shocked many of us into that realisation that we've got something on hand here that is unprecedented. Climate change is causing a real warming and drying, heating of the environment that we live in and that we enjoy. So we've got to adapt to that. Mm-hmm. And so the advice is becoming, much more in those circumstances, don't hang around.
Sounds good to me. Well, we'll take a quick break, Bernie, and we'll be back with more. All I can do is urge the listeners to get some paper and pencil. Bernie's going to give you some contact details, and he's going to tell you more about, again, where you can get that book. So if you get some paper and pencil, we'll be back in a few minutes. Was the Ronettes and Frosty the Snowman. We've played a few Christmas songs today because it's getting pretty close. We're not going to get any closer. As I said before, that I'll be back on the first Wednesday in February with Community Connection. In the interim, if you want to listen to Community Connections, you can always go to our website, click on podcast, click on Community Connections, and the one that Peter's done today, if you want to tell your friends about Peter, what we're talking about, Bernie's done today, if you'd like to click on, it'll be up there and you can get your friends to listen to it, some really good advice. But Bernie, we've got to give this book another plug. I've seen it and I reckon it's a fabulous book. Anybody who lives in Warburton and the surrounding areas would want to read it. So tell us all about it, where they're going to get it again, please. But Peter, we're talking about, I've got Peter, I feel so sorry for Peter who actually did all the work to start the book.
That's right, and that's, Peter Sutherland.
Yeah, and that's where I keep getting mad at her. We're talking to Bernie, poor old Peter isn't with us anymore.
Well, this one of the features of this book is that many of the stories are firsthand from a lot of the firefighters. And back in 1939, there was a chap by the name of Alex Larkins. Right. And Alex wrote a journal about his firefighting experiences. Oh. And I'd like to just read a couple of lines from his journal. The telephone was half a kilometre away. It had been operating the day before. Now, this is Friday, the 13th of January. The heat of the day and the fires was almost impossible. All about me, the bush ignited from countless incendiaries as I turned the handle on the phone and waited, and then rang and waited again, only to listen to a dead line. Although there was a fire all about me, great long yellow tongues, it became nearly as dark as night. It seemed the huge flames were being blown by a wind greater than any I had ever known. They roared as they travelled, and even greater power than those I remembered on Mount Donabuang. All about me, balls of crackling fire were speeding at a greater pace in advance of the main fires. Long pieces of burning bark were being carried by the wind, setting on fire areas not yet reached by fires. By mid-morning on Saturday, the 14th of January, the nation was still unaware of the extent of the greatest natural disaster in Australia's history.
Unreal, isn't it? And, of course, the firefighting equipment back then was nothing like the firefighting equipment now, is it?
No, we have radios and they're using a lot more drone technology to track fire fronts and on.
They're using the drones.
Not that we have any in Warburton yet, but, you know, to detect where fire is and so on, they use heat-sensitive cameras. And of course, we've got the planes and the helicopters. Yeah. And so there's a lot more technology goes into fighting fires.
I mean, in 39, there wouldn't have been anything. There'd been nothing like that, but there would have been very little technology full stop, would there?
No, it was pretty basic, and a lot of the firefighters were good bushmen, and they understood fire probably a lot better than some of us do who have grown up in the town,
a lot
of the townies.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these were tree fellas and bush workers who really understood. But many of the firefighters were people who worked behind desks, and they all came together to protect their community.
Yeah, which is terrific. So let's tell people how they're going to get this book again.
So this book is
called?
Available on trybooking.com, which is T-R-Y booking, it's one word, .com. And if you type in Warburton Fire Brigade, it'll take you straight to the site.
And it's how much?
It's $45, makes a great Christmas present.
Sounds good to me. And you could, if they can't get it between now and Christmas, you can always tell people they've got some great book coming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll post it out to them as soon as possible and make sure that they you can even write them a little voucher.
It's the sort of book that you could put on the coffee table, couldn't you? When you've
exactly.
got people there and they just pick it up and flick through. Because I got to say to you people, it's not some sort of black and white. I mean, some of the photos are black and white because that's what they were back in the day, but it's a really hard-covered, really nice book. So, Peter, again, for people, we've talked about the fire danger ratings. Could you just give us that site again that people need to go to, please?
Try booking?
No. For the CFA.
CFA.vic.gov.au, that's CFA.vic.gov.au, and also emergency.vic.gov.au.
So that CFA one, though, it's not only a case of the fire ratings, like they can look up that to find some ideas on preparation of the policy and, you know, those sorts of things.
It's full of ideas about what to do under different circumstances, how to respond to fire, how to avoid being in fires, how to prepare your house, how to burn off, what you need to do in order to burn off safely, etc., and conduct yourself in the community, you know, a safe, fire-safe community.
And I think one of the things too is we just need to mention an ad that I've seen run on a number of occasions where the couple leave it too late and they decide to drive off into the smoke and they hit a lamppost. Well, apart from that, you could hit a fire truck or another car or anything, couldn't you, if you leave it too late?
Absolutely. One of the points that we make about summer leaving for fire is try to avoid driving through smoke because your visibility is often zero.
And another car could have started to go and stopped too, couldn't they?
And then you become a roadblock. That's not a happy circumstance for anybody.
I forgot it. I hadn't thought of that. It's not only a case of the fact that you could do yourself an injury. You could also be creating a problem for the CFA and that who were trying to get trucks up there to do something, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Peter, look, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Alan.
Really do appreciate it. I hope you sell plenty of those books. And, look, the best thing I can say, I'm a coward. If I see smoke, I'd be gone. I'd be down the road so quick it wouldn't be funny. But thank you again, Peter, and we'll talk again sometime.
Good on you, Alan. Thank you.
Bernie.